Christ in chapter 2, he talked about how that we need to appreciate what we once was and what we now are in Christ, and how that we're a part of the family of God. Chapter 3 now, beginning, he says in verse 1, "For this cause I, Paul, the prisoner of Jesus Christ, for you Gentiles, if you have heard of the dispensation of the grace of God, which is given me to you word, how that by revelation he made known unto me the mystery, as I wrote afore in few words, whereby when you read, you may understand my knowledge in the mystery of Christ, which in other ages was not made known unto the sons of men, as it is now revealed unto his holy apostles and prophets by the Spirit, that the Gentiles should be fellow heirs and of the same body, and partakers of his promise in Christ by the gospel, whereof I was made a minister according to the gift of the grace of God given unto me by the effectual working of his power. Unto me, who am less than the least of all saints, is this grace given, that I should preach among the Gentiles the unsearchable riches of Christ, and to make all men see what is the fellowship of the mystery, which from the beginning of the world hath been hid in God, who created all things by Jesus Christ, to the intent that now unto the principalities and powers in heavenly places might be known by the church the manifold wisdom of God, according to the eternal purpose which he purposed in Christ Jesus our Lord, in whom we have boldness and access with confidence by the faith of him. Wherefore I desire that you faint not at my tribulations for you, which is your glory. For this cause I bow my knees unto the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, of whom the whole family in heaven and earth is named, that he would grant you, according to the riches of his glory, to be strengthened with might by his Spirit in the inner man, that Christ may dwell in your hearts by faith, that ye, being rooted and grounded in love, may be able to comprehend with all saints what is the breadth and length and depth and height, and to know the love of Christ which passeth knowledge, that ye might be filled with all the fullness of God. Now unto him that is able to do exceeding abundantly above all that we ask or think, according to the power that worketh in us, unto him be glory in the church by Christ Jesus throughout all ages, world without end. Amen." Can you gather that the information that Paul wants the Ephesians to know is worth his imprisonment? He mentions at least three times in this letter about him being imprisoned. He says he's a prisoner in verse 1. Also chapter 4, verse 1, he brings that up again. Also chapter 6, verse 20, he mentions how he's in bonds. But also in chapter 3, if you noticed in verse 13, he says, "I don't want you to worry about me so much. I don't want you to lose heart about what I'm suffering," because he wants them to know it's worth it. How important is this information that he's willing to suffer this much for this truth, these riches that he has given them? Now, Paul was a tent maker, and Paul sometimes went hungry, but he said he learned how to be both be full and to suffer need. But his contentment came through the riches that he had in Christ that he's trying to now share. These riches are not meant to be hoarded. They're not meant to be kept and remain within ourselves. They're meant to be shared. And he's now saying, "I want you to know what I know." And he mentions that, "I want you Gentiles to know this." Now, I believe there were Jews and Gentiles in Ephesus. But he mentions the Gentiles several times. And he refers to himself as an apostle to the Gentiles. Now you do need to understand here that some people think that the apostle only gave one plan of salvation to the Gentiles. And that, I don't know if you've ever heard this, it's a crazy idea. It's really nonsense. But there are some people who think that Paul only taught Gentiles and Peter only taught Jews. And so when you're listening to what Peter says, that's to Jews. And whatever Paul says, that's only to Gentiles. No, if you just read, you'd understand that the Apostle Paul would go into synagogues. That was his pattern. Synagogues were made up of Jews. And then whenever those Jews didn't hear him, then he would turn to the Gentiles. But he would go to the Jews first and then go to the Gentiles. So yet, what Paul taught was the same gospel, both to Jews and Gentiles. It's just that he had an aim and a focus, if you will, that he wanted Gentiles to know. He's not saying he never talks to Jews. So understand what he means by this, that he wants the Gentiles to see the unsearchable riches of Christ. Well, what do you got to do in order to obtain it? You have to do some great feat? Do you have to go and accomplish some impossible task? Do you have to go up on some mountaintop and be a monk? And do you have to just like meditate forever in order to be able to try to reach some kind of enlightenment? No. It's not like this truth is so far off. It's not like you have to go and search the ocean and find some buried treasure somewhere. It's not like that. It's right here. It's available. God gave it to the apostle Paul directly. And you know how you and I get it? Not by direct revelation the way he did. He says in verse 3, whereby when you read, you may understand my knowledge. Verse 3, he says, you gave it to me by revelation. But to you, when you read what I wrote. Now here's what's interesting to me, that there are some people who are waiting for some kind of miraculous thing, or they're waiting on some kind of experience or some emotional tug or some kind of thing like that in order to receive information that God is trying to get them, give them. Or they're looking for some kind of a sign. You remember Jesus said, an evil adulterous generation looks after a sign. It's amazing how people want to see signs in the birds landing on a branch, or you know, something in the stars, or they want to feel something in the breeze, in the wind, or they look for doors opening and whether every light that you're passing or is green and open for you, or whether they all turn red. They think they're waiting on some kind of a sign in some way and fashion like that. But he doesn't speak to you and I like that. Today, he gave the Apostle Paul the direct revelation by the Spirit, by inspiration, just like he did other apostles and prophets. Peter said that no prophecy of Scripture is given by private interpretation. That means by any human origin. They didn't just make this stuff up. It's not like they were, you know, getting some kind of a whim, or they had their own opinion. The Apostle Paul would often state, acknowledge that the things that I write unto you are the commandments of the Lord. That's what he says in 1 Corinthians 14. So when the Apostle Paul wrote his instruction, that was his revelation by God. But when we read what he wrote down, you and I have the same information he does. I don't need a latter-day revelation. There are some people who are waiting for that. Some people even claim that. I don't believe that. And in the Old Testament, it actually warned if someone were to come along and claim that they were a prophet today, or even then, if they were to claim that they were a prophet, one of the ways that you would know whether or not they are a prophet, if they predict something would come about, and it does not, what do you know? They're not a true prophet. I once had a man admit to me, he said he thought he was a prophet. And as I began to question him a little bit further, he admitted to me, he said, sometimes I miss. Well, prophets in Scripture didn't do that. So just because a clock is right twice a day doesn't, a broken clock is right twice a day, doesn't mean that it's working. Just because some people might claim some things and they get a hit here and there, but if they're missing, they're not a true prophet. So I hope you get the point. I also want you to recognize that there are some in the Old Testament where he said that they would be tested, that if a prophet comes along and there is some kind of a sign or something that is there to try to turn your heart away or to deceive you, but God had not spoken that message, that they were told not to believe that prophet, that was there in order to see whether or not you really love God or not. So that was even true in the Old Testament, even when there time where there was prophets. You need to recognize that there are false prophets too. And you need to try the Spirit to see whether they're of God. If a prophet or somebody's claiming to be a prophet and they're saying something and it is contrary to what the Scriptures are saying, then that ought to tell you they are not a true prophet of God. Either they are deceived themselves and thinking that they have something, or they are intentionally trying to deceive you. It's one or the other. But you're not to believe just everything you hear just so somebody comes along and claims to be a prophet. But the Apostle Paul, his words were certified. And in Galatians he talks about how his gospel was not something that was from man or by man. It was something he received of the Lord. And he didn't even compare notes with the other apostles. But yet his message matched the same message that the other apostles had, because he received his by revelation. So if you understand that, he says, you may understand my knowledge when you read. The Apostle Paul wanted us to read what he said. Isn't it amazing that we have this great wealth of knowledge and people don't read it? You're not going to learn this knowledge by happenstance. You know, sometimes people treat the Bible like it's like a lucky rabbit's foot or something like that. Like, it's the leather is not what's holy. The pages that it's written on and the ink is not the part that has the truth. The words that are conveyed, that is what is from God. It's not the ribbons. It's not the material. Sometimes people want to claim that this is like a, kind of almost make it like a relic. It's not like that. But the words of God are given to us. And yes, I need to take it in. I need to treasure it. I need to meditate on it, ponder on it. These are the words of eternal life. These words have eternal consequences. And so I need to read it. People spend so much time and energy reading, learning, looking for everything else except the very words they need the most. These are the words we're going to be judged by. Paul has given it, went to painstaking methods. You know, some of his letters, he even said he wrote with large letters. He was struggling. Some people who get to a point, whether it's by some condition or an elderly condition, it's hard to write the same. And the Apostle Paul must have had some similar situation. But there were times where he wrote, he wanted parchments even while he was in a jail cell so that he could write people. He wanted them to know the message. Do you realize that words like these that the Apostle Paul has given us, that there have been numerous other people besides the Apostle who have suffered to get these words in our hands? So many people have been burned at the stake in order to try to get us a copy of this. And yet people put it on their shelf and let it gather dust. Or they put it on their coffee table like it's an ornament, but they don't pick up and read it. There's nothing wrong with having it on your table. Just make sure you read it. And if this is the only time you get together and you read it in a setting like this, you're not getting enough. Jesus said, man should not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceeds out of the mouth of God. These words are more important than our food. Job said that. I have esteemed the words of his mouth more than my necessary food. You realize this word is a lamp to our feet and a light to our path. We need to do as one man said, thy word have I hid in my heart that I might not sin against you. We need to treasure and store up the word of God. We need to heed the words that blessed is he who seeks it daily and watches daily at my gates, waiting at the posts of my doors. These words ought to be something that I want to hear every day. You know, there are people who have lost loved ones. I have voice messages on my phone. I keep. And once in a while, I will play them. You want to know why? They're not physically here anymore. I want to hear their voice. Do you know every day I can hear the voice of God? Not in my ear in some kind of a mysterious message directly. He's had his apostles write it down for me that I could go back to it, look at it again and again. And so when I'm reading, when I get up in the morning, I want to make sure this is the first thing that I see. I want it to be the first information. Once in a while, I'll break my own rule. And I'll accidentally, or maybe not even accidentally, maybe I'll even begin to start, I'm going to look at my email. No, I'm not ready for that. Get back to this. Shut off the distraction. Get back to reading this. Then my day goes way better. Now I'm ready to be able to handle a little bit of whatever else is happening that day. If I make sure I get this time in. If you do not have a focused time every day to take in this nutrition, you might begin to wonder why you're malnourished, why you're lacking. Jesus said, have you not read? Did you never read in the scriptures? As was quoted this morning from the Bereans, they searched the scriptures daily, whether those things were so. Do you do that? Do you do it out of duty, or do you do it because I want to hear what God's message is for me? Do you read it? You're not going to learn it without opening it. You know, there was an attorney who sent out 15 letters to his clients who had not paid him. He decides, I'm going to forgive their bills in full. So he sends 15 letters saying, your bill is forgiven. 14 of the letters returned back to him, unopened. I guess they were afraid of the letter from the attorney. So they didn't get the good message that they'd been forgiven of their debt. Isn't it even a bigger shame that some people don't read what God's Word says, maybe because they're afraid of it, they're ashamed of themselves, but they're missing out on the treasure of God's Word. He says, when you read, you may know what I know, what God has given to me, and what I've been willing to be imprisoned for, what I'm willing to die for. Pick it up, read it, take it in. These are the words of God. And then he prays for them again. You know, and it's kind of like the earlier prayer. There's at least two times already in this letter where he's praying, I want your eyes to be opened. I want you to understand how much God loves you. I want you to understand the things and the knowledge of the Lord. I want you to know how much you're loved. I want you to know what God wants you to be. I want you to know your purpose. Why does he keep saying that over and over and over? Because he wants them to know these things. And so we need to seek it. We need to crave it. And we need to, as Jesus said, blessed is he who hungers and thirsts after righteousness, for he shall be filled. When the student is ready, the teacher appears. The reason why some people don't understand God's words, they don't crave it. They don't desire it. They don't want it. They don't seek it. They don't read it. Book of Revelation mentions, blessed is he that reads and he that keeps it. Don't add to it. Don't take away from it. It is the words of God. It don't need to be updated. It doesn't need to be improved on by me or anybody else. It is an eternal treasure. But because the Apostle Paul received this by revelation, he doesn't let his pride swell. He recognizes it's not because of his own merit that he has been allowed to receive these revelations. He says, unto me, who am less than the least of all saints. He recognized, and oftentimes Paul would say things like this, because he persecuted the church of God. And he recognized that the Lord didn't call Paul because of some kind of special merit of his. But by the Lord's wisdom and by his grace, he allowed Paul to be what he is and have what he has. It is the same for any other person who would share this message. Whoever they are, whoever you are, you want to share the Lord's message? That doesn't make you great. That makes the Lord great. That makes his word great. The power is in the word, not the vessel that's carrying it. Yes, beautiful are the feet of those who carry the message, but it's not because of their feet. It's that they're carrying the most precious message. And so he prays, I bow my knees unto the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. Verse 14. He wants us to know these things. These things pertain to the fellowship that we have, the blessings that we have, but also recognize it's not, there's something in this that is not just about us in our own little world. The Lord is mindful of us, but there is more at stake and more at display. Notice what he says in verse 10. To the intent that now unto the principalities and powers in heavenly places might be known by the church the manifold wisdom of God. It's probably hard for us to try to comprehend all of this. This is why Paul is asking for prayers that they may comprehend it. That kind of tells me we probably don't understand all there is to know about that. The apostles were with him for about 3 years, give or take. And there were still things they still needed to comprehend. They were with the master teacher. So surely you and I need to recognize that there is more to learn, more to grow, more to understand. But also, it's so that there are living beings on earth and there are living beings in heaven. He mentions the heavenly places, those in heaven and earth, the whole family, verse 15. Try to comprehend that. You are being watched. You are on display. Now, think about that the next time you do something. Say something. Think something. There are people watching you. You know, I sold a house to a man who later murdered a woman. I saw it in the paper and I wanted to go see him. So I went to visit him in the jail. You know how they caught him? It was a ATM camera that happened to see what he did. And obviously he didn't think that he was being watched, but he was. There are cameras everywhere. You are being watched. Once I was in a neighbor's house, it was a Thursday or a Tuesday, I can't remember exactly. And or something like that. So what happened was, they said, aren't you supposed to be at church? but they got the date wrong. But what they had noticed was, our neighbors go to church, you know, they know when you leave and they know when you come home. That people are watching. There was a little kid who was watching a preacher hammer on his fence, and the preacher said, what are you doing? He said, I was just waiting to see what a preacher says when he stubs his thumb. You know, people are watching. Kids are watching. They ever told on you? They ever told on things that you say? Little ears are hearing. They're listening. They're watching. All kinds of people are observing. Those that are alive, your neighbors. But there are also heavenly beings who are watching. Now, that should either be scary, or it should be comforting, or it should be motivating and exciting for you to know there are some people I won't do or say things around. When our kids were very little, there were movies that I, because my wife was better about this. There were movies that I wanted to watch that maybe had a little cussing in it. Maybe had a little violence in it. And I didn't want my kids to see it, so I'd try to wait till they went to bed, and then I'd try to watch it. Thankfully, Melina would say, I can't watch this. If you want to watch it, you go right ahead. I'm going on into the bedroom. And now I'm thinking, now what am I supposed to do? I want to watch it. But thankfully, within time, you know, you get tired as a parent. And so I couldn't hardly make it very far. And the neglecting of that after a while, I think what happens is I don't crave it as much. I don't have time for it as much. And so being on this side of it, there are just some things that don't interest me anymore. The desire for some of those things has disappeared a little bit. I say all that to say, you know, there are things you do or refrain from because of who's watching. Then I hear sometime later one of the kids saw one of the action movies I was watching because it kind of snuck out of their bedroom. You know, and there they are. If I'd have known that, I guess I wouldn't have been watching that. What does that teach you? There are some things you don't do. There's some things you don't say in front of your mom. There's some things you don't do whenever your parents are watching. I knew this young man who was very respectful in front of his mom and dad. Most respectful person you've ever met. Then he gets off playing with us. Entirely different. Well, why was he better behaved? Because he didn't want to do that in front of them. Now, what if you imagined that all the time your parents were watching? You as a parent, do you ever just kind of like stand around the corner? Make sure that they're... What if you as a child knew your... You know, sometimes your parents would say, I got eyes in the back of my head. My mother would say that. Well, sometimes they were watching. Sometimes dad would just know some of the things that I was into. Just because he had that perception. There's a song. There's an all-seeing eye watching you. You know, God sees. Everything is exposed. Everything is open to him. But not only that, you have a fan section from angels. When the prodigal son returned, there was rejoicing in heaven. There are heavenly beings who want you to do what is right. There are heavenly beings who have desired to look into things that weren't revealed in the past, but he's now revealed to us. And these are so valuable and such a treasure that you and I now know what others didn't get to know. They wanted to know it, and they didn't know it yet. On that point, I might mention a verse that sometimes you might have often heard, possibly misquoted, but look at 1 Corinthians chapter 2. Verse 9 sometimes is often quoted like around a funeral. But as it is written, Eye hath not seen, nor ear heard, neither hath entered into the heart of man the things which God hath prepared for them to love him. Sometimes people look at that and they think that's talking about things we don't know yet, but we'll know in heaven. But in the context, I want you to notice this. He's talking about things that, in verse 8, other people did not know. If they would have known it, they wouldn't have crucified Jesus. But then notice in verse 10, those things that have not been known, hadn't entered, hadn't heard. Verse 10, look what he says. But God hath revealed them unto us by his Spirit. The things that he's talking about that had been hidden before have been revealed to you and I. He has let you and I know. These are things he has told us. That's the context of there. I think Paul is making a similar statement here in Ephesians 3 when he says, other ages these things were not known. Other people wanted to know these things, but you've been given it. He gave it to me by revelation. I've wrote it down for you so you can know it. And I'm praying that you will reach and strain and you will gain this knowledge that he wants you to know. Try to comprehend the love of Christ. And when he talks about being strengthened by might or by his Spirit, I want to think about this for a moment. If you recognize there are things you won't do when other people are watching you, when they're in the same room, what if you were more aware that God's in the room with you? Jesus is in the room with you. The Spirit is dwelling among us. Don't defile the temple. If you're the temple, you want God to dwell among you. You don't want him to leave like he did among in the days of Ezekiel. Whenever. But what if you were more aware that God was with you? Do you think that Peter would have denied the Lord those three times if he would have been more aware of the Lord, his look? It was after the rooster crowed that second time. And then he saw the Lord look on him. But what if he was right in front of him? Do you think that he would have denied him right in front of him? He didn't before whenever he pulled out his sword. What if you were more aware that the Lord is watching and he is aware of what you're watching? Would you watch it? Would you listen to it? Would you read it? Would you invite him to enjoy that entertainment with you? But not only that, what if you are afraid that you know there's something that you must do, something you must say, but you're worried about what others will think about you, but he's right there with you? Would you be more empowered to do the courageous things that he's called you to do if you knew he was right there with you? I know this is true, that people have a strength when somebody does it with them. When they have somebody. You remember at the judge Deborah and Balak, or is it Barak? Barak wanted her to go with him. I'll go if you go with me. Well, what was that? He wanted some kind of companion or somebody to be there. There are times where we want somebody with us. If somebody was right there with us, maybe we would do it. Well, you're not really ever alone. The Lord is with you. Have the Lord with you. Invite him in. Live in such a way that the Lord is walking with you hand in hand. And maybe you would be strengthened to be able to resist temptation. Maybe you would be strengthened to not look at that thing that you know is inappropriate or that would cause lust. Maybe you would be strengthened to have faith whenever you are tempted to worry. If you knew the Lord was standing by. Kids might be sometimes afraid of going into the dark. But if the parents with them, that sure can help a lot. Alleviate some of that fear. Would that not help you and I when we are afraid, or when to have the Lord's hand with us, to have His presence with us? Be strengthened by the Spirit in your inner man. Have His knowledge with you. Take it with you wherever you go. Don't go home without the Lord. Don't leave here without the Lord going with you. Have Him in your car. Have Him in your home. Have Him in your heart. And so when we are as a family functioning the way that we are, that displays the wisdom of God to people who are... The world is watching us. Jesus said, the world will know that you are my disciples by the love you have toward one another. When other people watch us interact with one another. Now, hopefully they don't see us murmuring, complaining, gossiping about each other. Hopefully they see us caring about each other. No, hopefully they see us rejoicing when another rejoices, weeping when they weep, being there with each other for each other. Hopefully they see that. And that will say, I want to be a part of that family. But not only that, there are heavenly beings watching, and it causes them to praise God's plan. His plan is the best plan. This church that He bought, that He died for, is not just like some kind of a lesser thing that the rest of the world doesn't treasure like you and I should. Sometimes people don't want to be a part of His church because maybe they're afraid of various things. Maybe they're turned off by other religions. Maybe they're turned off by us because they don't really fully comprehend it and understand it yet. But may we be wise and know that we're on display. But may our display honor God by how we live and act and worship and treat one another. What we want people to do is to say, that is a people who loves God and loves the Word, and they have regard and respect to God. Let them see that we're people of the book. That, and the kinds of words that the Apostle Paul took painstaking methods to share with us. I hope I've encouraged you. Take in the Word. Seek it and grow by it. If you're not a Christian, believe with all your heart. Confess, I believe He's the Son of God. Having turned from your sin, be baptized. And then reach and grow and study. You're not going to learn it all in one day. Pace yourself. Pick a time each day. Learn and grow one step at a time. May we be available to you. If there's anyone here who wants to get with me sometime this week and you want to sit down and you want to go through the Word together, please ask me. I would love to do that with you. That's what I'm here for. Whatever way we can help you, won't you come while we stand and as we sing.